I hope now that we're going to be able to have a PowerPoint. And so, this is the triumph of hope over experience. Look at this. Whoa. Thank you, Jim. Spot on. So this morning's Mothering Sunday. And, well, I was amazed this week. So I was looking at Mothering Sunday hymns. And there was this hymn that came up. And it was being commented on Mum's Nest. Now, I've always thought of Mum's Nest as being mums, you know, nice mums. And they'd obviously taken exception to this hymn, in which it talked about my mum might not have a degree, but she can do my homework with me, you see. And it was, this had enraged them. I mean, the internet was blue. The language on Mum's Nest was just unbelievable. They got really, really angry because, first of all, this thing about Mothering Sunday had been held during the week at 2 o'clock, and they said, don't you think all mums are at work? I think we're all just sitting at home watching Tricia. And the second thing was that they'd had this idea that mums wouldn't be qualified and dads would be off doing their big jobs and the mums wouldn't have any work. So they were really, really angry. And then I thought, well, perhaps they've got a right to be angry. Perhaps they've got a right to be angry. Because, especially in the church for donkey's years, women made the tea, didn't they? They did. They did. Women made the tea. And the men did all the important stuff. And, No. Listen, I've done my history. If you were a woman, you weren't allowed to be at church. Remember, we're only just giving you the vote. Women were not allowed to be members of the church council. And I read one of my long-distance relatives is a lady called Maud Royden, and she recounts how one Sunday morning, when they needed to have somebody to ring the bell, only a woman could be found. And the vicar was consulted to see whether or not a woman could be allowed to leave her duties making the tea and ring the church bell. And the vicar decided that the woman would be allowed to ring the church bell, provided that they drew the curtain so that no one could see her. This is the history of our church. This is true. This is the history of our church. We've only just allowed women to be ordained in the Church of England. We've only just let them become bishops in the Church of England. So for donkey's years, the idea was that a woman couldn't do these jobs. And it is absolutely scandalous. Absolutely scandalous. Especially when you look at the biblical tradition and the history behind our faith. So we're just going to spend a few moments this morning thinking about women in the Bible. Jim, what's our first slide? That's our first slide. Thank you, Jim. Yeah. There is another one. There's another slide. There we go. Deborah. Deborah's a really powerful woman in the Bible. A really powerful. And she's not just supporting men. Here's a military leader. Here's a military leader, Deborah. A military leader. It's quite interesting. I don't even know the story. But Deborah was attacking this Canaanite general called Sisera. And he escaped. Sisera escaped. And he went and found a tent which was being looked after by another woman who we could have put her up as well. Jael. And Jael said to him, oh, come into my tent, evil Canaanite general, and sit down, and I will give you tea. Actually, she didn't give him tea, she gave him milk, because she thought, if he has a nice glass of milk, he'll feel all cosy. So he had his glass of milk, and then she put a covering over him, a skin of an animal over him, to keep him warm. And when he was warm and cosy after his milk, she got a tent peg and drove it through his head. Killed him. And delivered him to her compatriot, Deborah. So these were women these were killers. They weren't just cozy. These are the type you'd have a mum's nest. And she wasn't just a general, she was also wise. She would sit under a tree, she was a prophet and a judge. That's Deborah in the Old Testament. Now, I think one of the things that's interesting about this is, put it on there. Yes, it was, at the bottom it says, it was a time before the Morris monarchy, a time of social and political crisis. I think it's interesting that women in this country got more of a free rein in the war. You know, when you actually need them, then that's when they're allowed to do stuff and they suddenly rise to the top like cream. Let's have our next slide then, Jim. Hagar. Ooh, this is a classic one, Hagar. If you don't know the story of Hagar, Abraham and Sarah were childless. So Sarah thinks, ooh, this is not good. I'll get my slave girl, Egyptian girl, called Hagar, to have a baby with my husband. And then at least we'll have a child in the family. So she gives Abraham her slave girl. Abraham has a child called Ishmael with the slave girl. It's quite interesting because people sometimes say, you know, Charlie, we've got to go back to the biblical understanding of marriage. And I got to smile because Abraham, you know, father of our nation's oil, said he had all concubines and all kinds of stuff. So I don't know. Marriage is a modern construct. Anyway, they have this child called Ishmael. And then Sarah gets pregnant herself. And she thinks, don't need this pair. So they get Hagar and Ishmael, once carrying out a very functional purpose, important purpose, get sent off into the desert, that's the slide, getting sent off into the desert, go and fend for yourselves. And they were very nice because they gave them a skin with some water in to take off to the desert with themselves. I mean, when you did this, this was going off to die. Going off to die. And Hagar went into the desert and cried out to God. And God rescued her. They found water and they lived and they became a nation. And it's an amazing story, really. Hagar, the triumph that that woman had over, you know, what she was subjected to. Horrendous. Horrendous. In a very patriarchal society. Let's have our next slide, Jim. Ruth, some of the most beautiful words in the Bible. You know, where you go, I'll go, your God will be my God. Beautiful words from Ruth. If you've got a few moments to read the story of Ruth, it stands out just as a beautiful story on its own. The sad thing is that she relies on Boaz to look after her. But it's a wonderful story because essentially there was a famine in Bethlehem and Naomi goes out into Moab with her husband and her sons. They marry in Moab, then all the men die. And Naomi's left on her own, and Ruth looks after her and cares for her. And they go back to Bethlehem, and Ruth stays with Naomi and shows that devotion to her mother-in-law. And her devotion and hard work also impresses Boaz, and they marry, and it's a wonderful story. And eventually she becomes part of the kingly line for David. And, of course, on from that to Joseph. Next one. I think we're going to go into the New Testament now, aren't we? Give us a... just by magic. But, have we got sticky keys there, Jim? Is it going to change, Jim? Doesn't want to change. Oh, Esther. That's lovely. Esther. It's another Old Testament lady. She was an orphan girl. An orphan girl. Came from the poorest conditions that you'd think of, really. And she eventually ended up being married to the king. The Jews were exiled in Persia. And she heard of a plot to kill all the Jews. And she risked her life pleading for the Jews before the king. And the Jewish nation was saved as a result of that. And today, even today, they celebrate a feast called Purim, where they remember that Queen Esther saved their nation. So she was a really important woman. Without her, there perhaps wouldn't have been the Judaism and all the rest of stuff. Next one then, Jim. Normally just press return and it goes, you know. Could you go and see if there's something wrong with my computer, sweetheart? It should just change. No, it's just my computer. Just go on. Well, two minds are better than one, aren't they? Two minds are better than one. Changing the clocks. It's a miracle you're all here this morning. It's a miracle, yeah. And there's cake after the service. So that's nice, isn't it? Is it not changing? This is sad. That's going to have fun when it comes to hymns. Perhaps it's just the PowerPoint. Well, let me abandon that, Jim. Just switch that off. We won't worry about it. When we were in the the Lent course this week, we looked at some very important passages from the New Testament, and one of them, the Virgin Mary. We'll stick with this then, and at least we can see it. The Virgin Mary, classic example. I mean, Mothering Sunday, classic example. When we were in the Lent course this week, we were looking at the words of Mary. And when she was told that she was going to have the baby Jesus, remember the Magnificat that she came out with? And the Magnificat was the most powerful piece of writing in which she talks about revolution. Nothing short of revolution. The mighty being put down from their seat and the raising up of the humble and the meek. She talks about the change in favour of the poor. This is the Virgin Mary. Now, of course, when we come to Jesus, her son. Have you got the next slide, Jim? No? That's okay. We'll stick with that. Leave that on for the moment. When we think of Jesus' son, do you remember Jesus' first sermon? Do you remember it? It was at Nazareth. And Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." And he went on to talk about how he was going to change things in favor of the poor. And the interesting thing is that Jesus echoes the words of his mother from the Magnificat. And when you look at Jesus and the life of Jesus, when you look at the Beatitudes and the way in which he talks about the God being in favour of the poor, you can see that it comes right back to his mother. And his mother was echoing words from the Old Testament from another powerful woman called Hannah. So you see this strong tradition going back into the Old Testament with one woman, Hannah, going into the Virgin Mary in the New Testament, and then being seen in the life of Jesus. So you can see in the life of this man the really important influence of women who've talked about the need for change and how God wanted to turn the tables so that those who were oppressed were released. Those who had been subjected were freed. So important words from women. From women. This is another powerful woman, Elizabeth, mother of John the Baptist. When everyone else was sort of looking down their noses at Mary because she got pregnant, Elizabeth welcomed her to her home. And I think it's interesting that, you know, you see Mary go to Bethlehem and they can't find anywhere to stay in Joseph's hometown. No one wants to take them in. Everybody sort of, you can just imagine the gossip. In fact, it would be a miracle if there wasn't gossip. Just imagine if it happened in, you know, anywhere. Reynolds, you know. Young girl gets pregnant. You can imagine the gossip that goes around in villages, you know. This was a tiny, tiny community. You can imagine. And you can understand why when they go there, nobody wants to put them up. But Elizabeth hears that Mary is pregnant. And Elizabeth not only welcomes her into her home, but says this is a wonderful thing of God. So Elizabeth shows tremendous courage and ability to stand out from the crowd and not be one of the gossips. So I think Elizabeth is a wonderful woman. Mary Magdalene, healed by Jesus was held from seven demons. Goodness knows what that was. But she stood by him at the crucifixion when lots of the men had run away. And she went to the tomb with spices in the dark. Fancy going to a graveyard in the dark. With spices, and she went to anoint the body of Jesus. She was a brave woman, and she ended up being the first witness to Jesus' resurrection. A woman, the first, they wouldn't even allow them in court as witnesses. But Jesus, the Bible showed a woman as the first witness to the fact that Jesus had been raised from the dead. The courage and the willingness to speak out coming from Mary Magdalene. And then we've got just a couple of it from the New Testament. I think another one, Jim. I've got Mary and Martha. Well, they're a lovely couple of women who supported Jesus in his ministry. It's quite interesting. If Jesus hadn't had women to support him in his ministry, he probably wouldn't have been able to do his ministry. It was really important. Throughout the Bible, the New Testament, we hear about these women who ministered to him and provided the resources that he needed for his ministry. Next one, Jim. Priscilla. We often talk about women as if they're just a supporting role. But in the New Testament, in the Pauline epistles, we read about women carrying on ministry. Ministry. The ministry that we refused them to do until recently in the church. They were carrying out teaching roles in the church. Now, I can tell you, and this won't come as a surprise to some of you, that there are Christian churches in Bedford that won't allow women a teaching role. Today, in Bedford, there are churches that will not allow women a teaching role. Can you believe that? But it's true. But when you go to the New Testament, to the Bible, women are teaching. Here's Priscilla and Aquila. And I don't know why I've put the passage up for Phoebe. That's a mistake. But let me tell you about Phoebe. Let me tell you about, because this is another one. Priscilla and Aquila taught. They taught Apollos. Phoebe is another one. Now, this is interesting. This is Paul speaking. I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a servant of the church. The word that's used for servant there, diakonos, is often used to say that women should be making the tea. But the word servant is the same word that's used for Christ. And they don't tell you that. Same word that's used for Jesus. Jesus, that you may welcome her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints. She was sent by Paul with his epistle to the Romans. One of the most important epistles that we've got in the whole Bible, affected teaching across generations. She was the one who delivered it to the church in Rome, Phoebe. And if you took that letter, you didn't just take it in a bag and give it to a man to read out. She was the one who would have read it and expounded it. And what's very, very interesting, and scholars have been developing the work on this just recently, not only would she have delivered it, she would have been involved with Paul in composing it. So Phoebe is now regarded as a really important woman, instrumental in the work of Romans. Now, if you read on a little bit, it says, of course, Greek Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ. Fellow workers in Christ. It's not just the tea. These were fellow workers with Paul. Women. So, I suppose, to kind of round it off, the church for many, many years has underestimated and quietened the role of women to controlled areas of responsibility. And it's been a scandal, obviously. Mothering Sunday is a great day to celebrate women in motherhood, of course. But women's contribution throughout the centuries in the development of our faith. Tremendous women. Women such as the Virgin Mary, of course. Par excellence. But women going through the New Testament in teaching roles in the Christian church. Right back into the Old Testament, where they showed the most incredible examples of service and devotion. And Mothering Sunday is a great Sunday to say thank you to the contribution that women have made to our church. And today we're going to give out flowers, which is just a small token of gratitude for all that women do. Amen.
Thank you for struggling with that. Thank you. Give a round of applause for Jim. Thank you, Jim. Done very well. Thank you. We're going to stand and have a declaration of faith, and then we're going to sing our next hymn, which is Go Tell It on the Mountain. So let's stand and affirm our faith together. We believe in God the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. We believe in God the Son, who lives in our hearts through faith and fills us with his love. We believe in God, the Holy Spirit, who strengthens us with power from on high. We believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Well, we're going to sing our next hymn. Are the words going to come up for us for Go Tell It on the Mountain, Jim, is it? Sometimes you have a slight difficulty when we change from PowerPoint to... There we go. So.